God absolutely loves and values you. That's why we see healings and breakthroughs and restorations this weekend, like crazy miracles. And I believe we're going to see more because that's what God desires. He desires to give you the things of the kingdom. And if it's not happening in heaven, you don't have to settle for it here on earth, because God says that he wants heaven to invade you. He wants you to be the convergent zone where heaven lands. He wants you to be the hub, the center of heaven's activity. Like, he wants you to be invaded with the glory, invaded with his love, invaded with his passion. He is absolutely committed to you. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But he says, love God, love your neighbor. Can I tell you something? That was a perfect description on the cross of what he did. He did it out of his love for God, but he did it out of his love for you. And I don't understand some of the things that God does, but one of the things I do understand is he just wants to have fun with us, and he wants to bless us because he finds pleasure in releasing the things of his kingdom. So if he wants to manifest gold dust, pop angel feathers out, drop diamonds, do the miraculous, I just want God to be God in my life. We should want God to just be God in our lives, man. That's why perfect love casts out fear, because fear limits you. Fear restricts you. Fear binds you. Fear and condemnation paralyze you. But it's the love of God that says, take up your bed and walk. That's a good word. The fear of, man, can I tell you something? Being in awe of God will crush and destroy fear that is common to man. That's a good word, isn't it? The awe of God will break up the fear that is common to man. If you realize God's for you, then you realize nothing that's not forged from God's love can prosper. It might form to intimidate you, but God has empowered you not to even be affected by it. Can I tell you something? Victory isn't just overcoming something because you fell. What does it look like to actually be empowered by God where you don't even fall? And in that is victory. That's so good. Jesus, watch this, was tempted but without sin. And it was his love for God that caused him to be in this place of devotion, this place of commitment, that no matter what distraction, no matter what temptation, no matter what was trying to lure him away to a place of a mindset that led him to a lifestyle apart from God, he said, it's not worth it. He absolutely loved the Father, was one with the Father, was committed to the Father just as much as the Father was committed to him. What does it look like to know how to love God? Because we see how Christ loved Father God. We love because he first loved us. So what does it look like to realize the love that he had for God first? If the two greatest commandments is love God and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, and we're going to get to the second part of this in just a minute. What does it look like to have an absolute adoration and awe of the Father where you say, God, I am all in, and there is nothing that compares to who you are, and it doesn't have the ability to distract me or to take me away from you because I am committed to you. I am in love with you. Just like when Jesus was in the garden and it was impossible for him to give up because of his love for you and his love for me, God, help me to have that kind of love. Help me to have that kind of devotion. Help me to have that kind of commitment to you, God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me really quick. Sorry, I'm not good at introducing who I am. I just like to introduce who he is. If God is love and perfect love casts out fear, all revelation of the Father removes fear. Did you hear that? If God is love and perfect love casts out fear, God is the definition of love. It is who he is. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. Right? It's that good song, right? Can I tell you something? Love never fails. That's why it was impossible for Jesus to give up. Can I tell you something? Here's a really good word for somebody. Watch this. If Jesus didn't give up on you in your darkest hour, in his darkest hour, can I tell you something? Why are you allowing the enemy to convince you that he's giving up on you in your darkest hour? Just eat on that for a minute. That was good. Can I tell you something? Jesus was in the garden, man, sweating great drops of blood, right? He displayed in the garden and on the cross the two greatest commandments, because he would never expect you to do what he hasn't already fulfilled. And the first commandment was, love God with every part of your being. And I love this. We'll read that scripture in just a second. But Jesus was absolutely devoted to the Father. And there was, watch, all temptation paled in comparison to God's promise. Do you know when it says the joy that was set before us, he endured the cross? Before he adored you and before you were the joy set before him, the Father was a joy that was set before him. And honoring God, despite how hard obedience was, he positioned himself in obedience because of God's love in him and the love that he had for God. Can I tell you something? Too many times, man, we are easily taken away by temporary things. Because we actually believe and we allow that imagination to exalt itself above who God really is. I want to know who God is so it stirs up a passion to commit to him that much more. But I love this because when Jesus was in the garden, he had such a love and the Father was such a joy. And all temptation on giving up paled in comparison to how beautiful God was and how much joy Jesus had in his Father. The love that Jesus had for his Father was so uncompromisable that it didn't matter what stress he was in, he stayed committed to be obedient to his Father. What if we're committed to God not because we get blessed, but what if we're committed to God and obedient because we love God and we bless him with our love? But he's so in love with God, and he's in his darkest hour, and he doesn't give up on God. He doesn't fail, because love never fails, and he had such a love for God. But then he has a love for you. And in his darkest hour, he didn't give up on God, and he didn't give up on you. So why do you think that when you're in your darkest hour, God has given up on you? If he didn't give up on you in his darkest hour, why are you allowing the enemy to convince you that he is giving up on you in your darkest hour? If anything, Jesus is the light that becomes life, and he actually shines the light to the door of breakthrough for you. So good. You'll say amen later. 1 Peter, I told you to turn to the Bible and you got it, but you didn't have the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. This is the New International Version. 1 Peter 1, 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Verse 16, for as it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Can I tell you something? You know what that word means in the Hebrew and the Greek? Commitment. It means committed. Holy there, one of the purest forms of holy, be holy for I'm holy, actually means I'm committed to you, be committed to me. It actually means commitment. It means devotion. It means to be devoted because of how much you admire something. And guess what? The result of that is holiness. Be holy just as I'm holy. Be committed just as I'm committed. Can I tell you something? Jesus was committed to you and he showed you that on the cross. There was nothing that held back Jesus from dying on the cross. What are some of the things that cause us to sometimes refuse to pick up our cross? Two greatest commandments found in Matthew's gospel. Love God, love your neighbor. Can I tell you something? Be holy just as I'm holy, right? We need to learn how to be committed to God and committed to man. The enemy is trying to break your commitment through disobedience. When the example of Christ and his obedience actually stirs up a desire to be committed to God just as much as he's committed to you. Look how much he was committed to you on the cross, man. He could have called 10 legions of angels, but he decided to stand because of his commitment to God and his commitment to you. To be in love with God means, man, God, I'm committed to you just as you're committed to me. I'm going to love you the way you love me, and I'm going to love others the way you love them. I'm going to be committed to you just as you're committed to me, and I refuse to break that commitment no matter the temptation. And I refuse to allow what tries to distract me to cause me to compromise because I'm committed to you. Like me and my wife are married, right? I'm committed to her. Can I tell you something? I don't even entertain having an affair because of my commitment and my love for her. I don't wake up every day hoping I don't have an affair. I wake up every day looking to grow in love. What does it look like to wake up every day not afraid of being unjust or waking up and not worrying about sin and having an affair on God? You're just so in love with God that you just want the love of God to grow, and it just confirms your commitment. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. Every day God wants to reveal his goodness to you and how much he's committed to you. So it constantly renews your mind where giving up or having an affair or sinning isn't even an option because of your love and affection for God being greater than the desire of compromise. I didn't even know what I was going to preach until I grabbed the mic, and I like this. And we're going to challenge you guys tonight because I don't want to just stir up your faith and empower your hope. Can I tell you something? When God speaks, he wants to give you faith, empower your hope. But more than that, above all, he wants to increase your love. Can I tell you something? When Jesus was in the garden, remember when Jesus was in the garden and he said, man, Father, if this cup could pass for me, so be it. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was not negotiating with God. He wasn't trying to spark up a deal with God. Could I just give up a little bit? Like, how far are you going to let me compromise, God? No. His affection for the Father was greater than his desire for compromise. You learn how to love God by looking how Jesus loved God. And man, I want to learn how to love by reflecting the very image of how Jesus loved the Father. I'm no longer, man, we're no longer slaves to fear, but we should be no longer slaves to selfishness. We should no longer be slaves to ourselves. But we should be committed to one. It's a choice. God knows how he programmed you. He's not pressuring you into this. He inspires you into this by sending his son and showing you how it's done. And I love this because Jesus was not in the garden trying to negotiate with God. I believe what he was saying was, God, if this cup could pass for me, so be it. That would be awesome because this is hard. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It was not him rejecting God's plan. It was him accepting God's plan and decreeing and declaring to hell, I'm not giving up. And it was a statement of affection, not rejection. It It was a statement of affection, not rejection. It was a statement of his commitment to the Father. Father, you've been committed to me my whole life, and you're committed to your people. And Father, I am a representation of who you are here on this earth. And if I give up, people are really going to believe that they have a right to give up and that God gives up. So he decides out of his love to commit himself to the Father and commit himself to you when you were even still a sinner. Sounds like I'm hitting puberty right there. You're a sinner. Even when you were yet a sinner, Jesus died for you. Even when you had nothing to do for him and nothing that you wanted to do with him, man, he had his eyes of affection towards you. He was committed to you even when you weren't committed to him. He was in love with you when you weren't in love with him. Remember how Jesus says, if you have love for your neighbor, what kind of thing does that profit you? But if you love your enemy, that's where love is. Love those who persecute you. Why? Because that's what he was going to do for you. He makes this commitment to the Father, man. If this cup could pass from me, so be it. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Maybe there's something in your life right now that's trying to disrupt your commitment. I'm here to tell you, cast that imagination down that's trying to exalt itself above the affection that you have for God. It's not worth it. Why do we chase things that are temporary when we need to constantly be in awe of the one who's eternal? You all right? Be holy, just as I'm holy. Be committed, just as I'm committed. How many of you want to live like that, man? I know I do. Be committed, just as he's committed. Be devoted, just as he's devoted. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read this so we can look at it real quick. I know you're probably like, this is the last night and you're going to be preaching on this. Yeah, because I don't want us to just make it all about God adoring us. I want to make it about our adoration towards him. I want God to stir up his love in me for him and then for others. You all right? I love the silence. This is like a really tall pulpit. I feel like a midget right now. Oh man, Jordan, you're taller than I realized, bro. I just feel so short. Get Curtis behind here. You wouldn't even see him. Matthew 22. Come on back, Jesus. Come on back, Jesus. Come on back, Jesus. Pray for his legs. God's been growing out a lot of legs and healing backs. Wouldn't it be cool if we just prayed for Curtis and his legs grew out to a place where he grew like 6 inches? He like towers over the pulpit. Hey, I'm a man now. Not just I had to joke. Chill, relax. The more comfortable I get, the funnier I get. But anyways, that's not love at all. That was bad. I'm sorry, bro. I do love you a lot. Oh, okay. Hey, Lord, just bring them back, Lord. Repentance, Lord. Now, Matthew 22, look at verse 37. It says this, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord with God, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let me make this statement. We're going to move on. We've got to see first how Jesus loved us, if we're ever going to love others. We need to see how Jesus loved the Father, if we're ever to love the Father. Jesus says, whatever you see me do, you can do and do even greater. How many of you know, I want that to start with love. I want love to just be so great in me. I love this because the word there, love, is actually agape, right? And this is what this word means. The word here actually means to have an affectionate reverence. An affectionate reverence. It also means to be well pleased with, to welcome and entertain, and to be fond of. So God is actually saying, Jesus is actually saying, oh, it's up here. Thank you all. You shall be pretty fond of God and fond of others as you're fond of yourself. Can I tell you something? We got to stop wanting God for ourselves. Whoops. We need to stop getting selfish with the blessing. Like, God, I just want you for me. I want to be fond of you and you fond of me, and we just live great. Let's just forget about the other commandment and let's just really go after one. I want to be fond of you, you fond of me. I want to be fond of myself and, you know, like every once in a while, I'll be fond of others. No, Jesus is saying, if you want to fulfill all of the law and the commandments, you need to be fond of God, be in love with God, be in love with others, just as you're in love with yourself. But it actually means to entertain and to be fond of. The word love here is a love that isn't, watch. The word love here is a word that the love actually means that it can't be kindled by merit. Let me say that again. The word love here is a love that isn't kindled by merit. Like, you really shouldn't even love God just because of what he gives you. You should just be in love with God because you're fond of who he is. And then he's saying, listen, you need to be fond of yourself, not because of what you've done or what you haven't done. You just need to be fond of yourself because of how much God values you. But then God says you need to be fond for others and love others, even if they haven't given you a merit to love them, given you a reason to love them. We're going to go somewhere here in a second. You follow me, okay? Be holy just as I'm holy. We need to have a commitment to God. I already preached that. We need to have a commitment to others. Even when others aren't committed, even when others aren't really fond, God's like, I want you to see them the way I see them, so that you're fond of them and in love with them, not because of what they've done to spark love, but because of how I've revealed my value and how I see them to you. You're fond of them because of how I see them, how I've revealed them to you, not because of what they're doing. Because how many of you know, if it was about what you did, then Jesus would have never died on the cross. Because you didn't do anything to merit his love. He loved you when you were yet a sinner. He loved you when you're an enemy of God in your own mind. He loved you because he was never your enemy in his mind. Come on, guys, follow me. What does it look like to become? Watch, Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God as dear children. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us who God is, because if God is love and 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, then 1 Corinthians 13 shows us who God is, and it shows us what we need to become if Ephesians 5:1 becomes a reality in our life and becomes a pursuit. Be imitators of God's love. Be committed to God's love just as God's love is committed to you. Be committed to God just as he's committed to you. Be committed to others just the way God is committed to them, even in their sin, and even though they've done things to not merit love, this agape love says, I'm fond of you and I love you, even though you haven't done anything to merit this love. To be imitators of God as dear children, you need to become who he is. He is love. We're going to move on. We've got to see how Jesus loved first if we're ever to love like him. If we're ever going to be called in this kind of love. A selfless love. This word actually means it delights in giving. It's not just a love in action, but it's a love found in the heart. It's not fake. It's a selfless love. It's the highest form of Christian love. It's a love for everyone no matter what. Like, it's a love for God no matter what, and it's a love for people no matter what. Do you know in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, that means he was fond of it. He was attracted to it. The world didn't do anything to merit it, but he just still loved. It's agape love still found in John 3:16. Isn't that crazy? Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 45. Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 43 through 45. Jesus. It says this, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Why? Because you shouldn't be driven by what causes you to justify why they don't deserve your love. You're actually to love them despite what they do. That's hard, isn't it? That you may watch, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Let me just read a little bit more. "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect." Perfect in what? How? Love. Let me just read verse 43 again. "You have heard it was written and said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you." Do you know how Jesus says in the Gospels, no greater love than this, than someone would lay his life down for his friend? This verse that I just read should make you question who your friend is. I'm trying to spark up a passion in you to love people, because people are dying and going to hell and they're not experiencing the love of God. But through sacrifice, we get to become what we behold and put on display the goodness of God. And it's the goodness of God that brings men to a place of repentance. Jesus died. He revealed how good he was and how passionate and fond and love, in love he was of you, and how much he loved you by dying on the cross for you, making the ultimate sacrifice, being obedient, even though he was obedient, being obedient so that you could be blessed. What does it, and watch this, he did this because he's seen your value. What you did didn't hold him from the cross. If who you were drove him to the cross. What does it look like to say, man, I don't care what people do to me. It's not going to change my response and what I do for them. Your greatest miracles, the greatest things that you ever see in life will happen when you love people first. Freely receive, freely give. Man, we need to have such a love for people, enemies and friends alike, where we put on display the goodness of God because we want people to receive what we received. And it brought us breakthrough and it brought us freedom and brought us restoration. We should want and desire that same deliverance, that same breakthrough for the people that are in our community, strangers or friends. We should learn, yearn and honor and even sacrifice, man, what's like selfishness, because selfishness says, you know what, I'm just going to hold on to fear because I'm afraid of what people will say or what people will do and what are people going to say. It shouldn't matter what they say. It should be what God has said that drives you with a passion to be Christ to those who are in front of you so that they can truly realize who God is and fall into a place of repentance because you have displayed the goodness of God. They came in touch with you, and when they came in touch with you, you displayed and exerted the reality of the love of God, and it brought such a repentance to them. I was in my living room one time. I've been in there a lot, and I was watching some football, getting ready to I was going to preach in a couple of days, and the Lord spoke to me and says, my people are misrepresenting me. He says, my people are misrepresenting me, and people are rejecting me because of your rejection and how you're not loving the way I love. And he says, Ryan, he says, people are staying out of the church because of what the church has done to them, and they are rejecting the Father because they come in my name, and they really believe that this is who I am because of what you do. And I went to a church service a couple of days after that, and preaching, and I called a lady out. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge for her. I said, "You got a bad back?" And she's like, "Yeah, I've got rods in my back." She had an attitude. She's like, why do you want to know that? How do you know that? I said, "Because God revealed it to me, and God loves you." And she's like, "Right." I said, "Can you come up here and I pray for you?" "Sure, but it ain't going to work. Come up here." Because listen, guys, we get so excited. God's committed to me. But can I tell you something? We love ourselves right into selfishness and we make it about ourselves. When God says, "Listen, I'm giving this to you to stir you up, to bless you, but then to go and be a blessing and to reveal my goodness so that others can come into a place of repentance." He says, "I want you to represent me on the earth so that those on the earth can realize the beauty of who I am and how much I love you them and how much I value them." Jesus didn't die because of the right things you did. He died because God wanted to make things right. He valued you. Can I tell you something? We are called to be living sacrifices. We need to start having a burden for the lost and desire them to come into the reality of who the Father is, because we are willing to sacrifice selfishness, allow Christ to inhabit what selfishness had dwelt in, and represent the goodness of God. So where people see the goodness of God in our life through demonstration, where they see the goodness of God and they turn from their wicked ways. We want to get a word to get blessed. We want to get a word to have faith. We want to get a word to have hope for something for ourselves. Yes, that's awesome. But what if you're freely receiving? Watch, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What if God says, "I'm not just giving you this word to stir up faith for your own problem. I'm giving you this word to stir up a passion to go right in the middle of someone else's problem and prophesy and declare the word of the Lord over their situation. It turns around because I bring heaven to earth. They step back and see the goodness of God and then fall into a place of repentance." I have seen more salvations on the streets because I have called out stuff and God has healed it. People have given their lives to the Lord more by them not, watch, by God revealing to them who they are rather than ridiculing and mocking who they are. We have preached on the streets, "You're going to hell, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And can I tell you something? God's like, "You repent. Because I want you, watch, the kingdom is in your hand. Start using it and blessing people and revealing to them my goodness and bringing them to a place of repentance. Be committed to people even though they're not committed. Love people. Be committed to what I'm committed to. Ryan, I died on the cross not because of what they did. I died on the cross because of who they were in my eyes." What does it look like to pray and say, "God, give me your eyes. Let me see people the way you see people. And like Christ, help me to be moved with compassion to the multitudes at Walmart, to the multitudes at McDonald's, to the multitudes of Apple stores, praise God. You know, God, just let me be moved to the multitudes so that I can put on display your goodness, because I desire people to repent because of this goodness just as much as I have repented. Freely I've received. Now I want to be excited and go and give." So I called this woman out. She's mad. She didn't want to be in front of everybody. I wasn't thinking, and I should have done it maybe in private, I guess, but it was cool what happened. I prayed for her. Heat comes over her back. Steel rods in her back. She bends down and touches her toes. Now, one of two things happened. Either God dissolved the metal, or titanium just became flexible. She stands up completely healed and she's like, "Oh my gosh, like this is who God really is." And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "No, but this is who God is." And she starts weeping. I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Ryan," she's like, "I haven't been in church. This is my first time in church in 10 years. I said, "Okay." She said, "Ryan, I was hurt by the church. They misrepresented God, and I know that now because you just really truly showed me who God was and who God is." She says, "For 10 years I rejected God because 10 years ago the church rejected me. And I was mad at God because of his people. She says, he loves me. Like this, like even a God who's mad at me doesn't do this. And I thought he was mad at me, so I just got mad at him. And she's like, I want him, right? And this was like 10 minutes into my message. Message completely ruined. Loved it. We have camped around the word, but it's produced no results. Because we want the miracle, and God wants us to step out. What is the point of getting a word if you're doing nothing with the faith that comes when that word comes? And stop being selfish and making faith just about you. I need faith for a financial breakthrough. I need faith for a healing. I need faith for clarity. I need faith. I need faith. Yes, you do, but you freely receive this faith to then go and give this good news out in faith. Be committed just as I'm committed. Be committed to God just as much as he's committed to you. Be committed to others just as God is committed to them because of their value, not what they've done to gain any merit. So she gives her life to Jesus right there in the middle of the service. Praise God. She goes then, ready to turn back to her seat, and a woman's standing right there, and she's like, Ryan, my back is really bad too. And the girl's like, I'll get out of the way. I said, no, you're perfect. Come here. She's like, what? I want you to pray for her to get healed. Oh, I can't do that. My back's little in God, and I'm a sinner. And I said, no, you're not. You just gave your life to Jesus. You're a son, your daughter. I'm sorry, you're a daughter. And she was like, that's right. Wow. And so she turned to the lady and she's like, I don't know what to pray. And I said, just pray from your heart. She prays for that lady who has rods in her back. Lady bends over and she gets completely healed. The girl that got healed's freaking out, but the girl that prayed for the healing is like, no way. Like, no way. No way. And I was like, yeah, way. Yahweh is Yahweh will always make a way. She encountered God's love and was empowered that night. Teach us how to love. Well, it's too hard. Can I tell you something? God speaks to empower you, but he also speaks to cause something to be sacrificed. Living sacrifice. He didn't tell you it was going to be easy because sacrifice never is easy. But can I tell you something? We need to stop sitting on the porch content with what God's done for us. We need to stop sitting on the porch and being content with our healing and with our breakthrough and our deliverance. We now need to say, you know what? God has done this in me. He's spoken to give me faith. He's spoken to empower my hope. And he spoke to encourage love. And the greatest thing is love. And I love this. Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciple if you have love one for another. We need to learn to love by seeing how he loved. And Jesus never overlooked anyone or never rejected anybody. People are dying going to hell. And it's not okay. We need to get over ourselves. And we need to be humble so that we exalt somebody to him.